And it's not just fires threatening Alaska's wilderness. Reminders of the devastating earthquake and tsunami that struck Japan in 2011 are still washing ashore on Alaska's coast. This summer, crews are in the midst of a massive cleanup project, picking up and bagging tons of debris that were swept thousands of miles out to sea when the tsunami hit. Joining us now from Anchorage is Chris Pallister. He runs the Gulf of Alaska Keeper, the group behind the effort. And Chris, let's start with the scope of the problem. How bad is it?
The Gulf of Alaska coast has always had a lot of marine debris on it, but after the tsunami hit, the volume of debris has doubled since then. That translates into between, depending on which beaches you're on, between 10 and 20 tons of plastic per mile.
So take us to the beach then, in that sense. What does it look like on some of these coasts?
It looks like a linear landfill. I mean, it's just garbage as far as you can see, you know, walking down the shoreline. And it's some of these areas, the zone is pretty narrow because the beach is very steep and backed by cliffs. And there are other areas that are debris scattered over you know, 100, 200 yards deep into the forest and stuff.
And what kind of debris are we talking about? Marine debris all the way from Japan?
Yeah, so everything you can imagine in a house that floats. And plus, there's a tremendous amount of commercial fishing debris. A lot of that actually came from the tsunami because a lot of those coastal communities that got wiped out were heavily fishing oriented. And they lost all of their aquaculture buoys and nets and all the floats they had on shore, boats and everything else.
And you can tell it's from Japan because there's Japanese script on it.
Yeah, a lot of it has Japanese script on it. A lot of it is things that, you know, you can tell that they were made in Japan. There are different styles to their, even their bottles are different. One thing we started finding a great deal of this year were property boundary stakes that are stuck on the corner of each property in Japan. They're a high-density plastic that took a couple years to get here.
Wow. So what's that like? Because I'm sure from your perspective, on the one hand, it's a nuisance because it's this plastic and trash building up on the Alaskan coast. But on the other hand, these are remnants of people's lives that these people might have died in the tsunami and the earthquake.
Yeah, especially poignant to me is the, when you find shoes. And these shoes we're finding are worn shoes. You know, they came out of somebody's closet or hallway or even off their feet. So when you start thinking about that, it's actually pretty disturbing. And we never forget for a moment that we're kind of mucking around in a graveyard out there.
Mm. So how does it work? How do you gather all this trash and dispose of it?
Well, this is an extremely rough shoreline, very remote. And so you basically get on there by foot most places. You know, we take boats to the shore, and then you're working on foot. There's no heavy equipment, and you're just removing all this stuff by hand, basically. And about the only power tools we use on the job are chainsaws to saw through drift logs and stuff so we can get a lot of the nets and lines out. Then we come back later and sling it off the shoreline with helicopters and put it on the barge.
And where's that trash go?
This a load we're putting on the barge, we're shipping it down to Seattle, and we're going to have it recycled. A group called Parley for the Oceans from New York has taken over that portion of it for us, and they're going to sort it and take out what they can use for their recycling processes, and then the remainder will go to a landfill in Astoria, Oregon.
And this sounds a little bit like the tale of Sisyphus. I mean, you're pushing this boulder up a mountain, and as soon as you get there, it comes back down at you because the ocean probably just brings more trash to the coast. How realistic is it that you can actually make a dent in this problem?
Well, you know, that's a good question, because last week we were just out at Gore Point, very remote place on the Kenai Peninsula, and we clean that beach every year because we use it for one of our monitoring sites, and we just got done cleaning that beach, filled up 15 super sacks on just that one shoreline alone, and when we got all done, we were watching the waves roll in there on the beach, and you could see it throughout the waves, you could see pieces of plastic coming up on the beach. You know, people always ask, why do it? More is just going to keep coming. Well, what's the alternative? We're just going to let it keep piling up until it's completely buried our beaches. Besides the fact that we have now cleaned over 1,500 miles of shoreline and rehabilitated a tremendous amount of habitat, it's recognition that's being brought to this problem by all the folks like us that are doing cleanup work. That is probably the biggest payoff in the long run, because this is a serious, serious environmental problem. I personally think it only ranks after global warming and ocean acidification as the big three, I call them, that are going to really harm the ocean. And I think the fact that people are working on it, bringing attention to it, is the most important thing.
Chris Pallister heads the Gulf of Alaska Keeper. He's in charge of a major project to clean trash off the coast of Alaska. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. I enjoyed it.